Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our special edition Sunday night. Miss Tony, Miss Leisha, are you on deck?
Yes.
And where is Mr. Aaron Bebo?
I saw him in there.
There he is. No, we can't have a show without Aaron. I mean, honestly, you might as well just get back in our cars and drive back home if Aaron isn't in the queue.
I agree, boss lady. I agree. Hey, Bebo, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I'm tired.
Hey.
Been a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. I've been over here working hard. How about everybody else?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I was hardly working because that won't sound right with you working hard.
Yes, it will. Even Boss Lady team got to take a break sometime. We work hard all week. So if you stepped out and was, like, chilling and relaxing, I have no problem with that at all.
Actually, I was working. I like to smoke in the summertime. You know, I have a smoker. I'm a gadget fanatic. So I've been smoking some good food all day. So it's okay.
I thought you had been hanging out with Aaron. You was like, I like to smoke in the summertime. I was like, what?
No, that's not smoking.
Aaron, has Tony been down to your house? I don't know.
I don't know. When do you start smoking?
Yeah, I was about to say smoking what?
Well, you only doing it in the summertime? What does that do for you?
I didn't know what was going on. I was trying to figure it out. I know she comes, like, sideways into the studio every so often. She'd be, like, tipping to the side, but I didn't know it was due to smoking. But that's okay. I ain't judging you. I am not judging you.
Y'all look silly. Not that kind of smoking.
Oh, okay.
I'm, like, smoking ribs, chicken, pork chops, you know, stuff like that. Food smoking.
Oh, okay.
You've been cooking all day.
Yeah, I enjoy cooking. No offense to anybody, but I don't smoke.
Well, okay. I just thought you was hanging out with Aaron. I didn't know. I know y'all just met for the first time in Jersey. I didn't know he had got to you or, you know what I'm saying, y'all had talked on the side. I didn't know what was going on. But
we had a smoking party.
That was going to be your last book signing. I'm going to tell you right now. Hey, I know Mr. Doe don't play that. That was going to be your last book signing. I already know it.
Absolutely. Pulling my book signing card.
Yes, that would have been it. Mr. Bebo, did you cook today?
Yeah.
What'd you make, Mr. Aaron?
Chicken.
Uh-huh.
Regular black stuff.
The regular black? Oh, okay.
Black stuff.
Yeah, you know, chicken, rice, greens. It's regular. The regular stuff. You know, the stuff that makes black people happy when they come in the house.
Oh, okay.
Like, I smell chicken.
Definitely understand that. Well, we here, special edition. We got Jay Jones in the studio. Her team is on deck. with her. Can't wait to meet her authors, hear what she has exciting going on in her camp. We have a fire subject tonight. Our callers, our listeners, everybody should definitely be excited about where we're going this evening. We're going to get them in the clubhouse and, you know, be able to chop it up with them a little bit, find out what they have going on, and find out how they're going to weigh in on this hot topic, you know, the female thug. As we can see with a lot of, you know, the books and the titles and the covers, like a lot of it is gearing towards the female, you know, being in power, taking control after either being hurt or, you know, played out, or, you know, just some females are in charge of, you know, their position in the game. I know in my book I have, you know, Coco in the Pussy Trap series. She's definitely about that life, you know, definitely thorough in all sorts of the word. And you have a lot of women who are in the game. You have a lot of women doing time behind it, you know, women in gangs. You know, that term diva does not float for everybody. You know, you have some thorough females out there. You know, some of them are tougher than some dudes. So, you know, we definitely going to get into that subject, see how everybody weighs in on it. But it's going to be exciting. But until we do, we're going to go ahead on. We're going to let Miss Tony and Miss Leisha pay some bills, and then we're going to get right into it. Aaron's going to jump us off on his thoughts, feelings, and ideas about the female thug, not a diva. So, you know, go ahead, Ms. Tony, and pay the bills.
Absolutely, Boss Lady. Once again, I'd like to welcome everybody to our Sunday night edition of Writing Lofty Radio. Like Boss Lady said, we have a fantastic show on tap for you guys today. My name is Tony, and I am one of your fabulous co-hosts. Now, in order to keep on in our green room operating, I'm going to proceed to pay some bills. Writing Royalty Radio is dedicated to joining authors and readers together, creating a community of reading and writing greatness. I'd like to let everybody know that Boss Lady is busy pitting her upcoming sequels, and in order to be on tap when they do release, you should get these titles into your library. She has the P-Trap series, 1, 2, and 3, and like she said, she's been busy with number 4, so keep your cyber eyes open for that. She also has, to put into your library, the Trust No Beast series, 1, 2, and an all-time classic, Part 3. She shares those titles with the one and only Cash, Street Lit Author. Those are some definites that you must get into your library. Nene also has a blazing title under G Street Chronicles, titled Tainted, Lies, Fear, and Death. G Street is just busy, busy, busy. I don't know if you guys have seen it on the cyber news, but they are moving forward. She's pinning part 2 to that, so be on the lookout for that as well. Now, my co-host, Smokin' Aaron Bebo, he is no slouch with his pen. See, he has some Cupid's Assassin, Bunches of Love, Cupid's Assassin Part 2, and I have added my name to the list of those that have read that, but be on the lookout for those. He also has Under the Powerhouse G Street Chronicles. I used to love her, one of my all-time hip-hop classic favorites. He's in the process of pinning Part 2 to that, so also be on the lookout. You guys have a lot of hot titles to be looking out for this summer. So those are just a few of the awesome titles by my fabulous co-hosts, Miss Nene Capri and Aaron Bebo. So I'm going to kick it over to the right to my beautiful co-host, Mrs. Leisha. How you doing this fabulous holiday weekend, girl?
I'm doing good. I had a very, very good weekend. I hung out with my husband and my son, and we went to go see Transformers, and we kicked around, and we watched some movies. He had me watching some movie yesterday with Nicolas Cage, and he had the little boy that did all the writing on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the name of it. He was watching it, so I was watching it. And I was, you know me, I'm always working. I'm always doing something. So that was my weekend, but I had a good weekend, peaceful, just hanging out, kicking back. I'm going to do something a little different today. I want to shout out all of the authors that are on my Hardcore Readers page. I put up a post in June, and I asked them to just post if they had anything new or anything coming. And, you know, I had some authors that kind of on a regular basis, they always add on to that post. So I do want to shout them out today. So I'm going to shout out Tanya Singleton Franklin, the I Love This Pain by Zaire. That's currently on Amazon. You can hit that one click, part one and two. And then we have Jane DeCoster, who is on G Street. She has Dark Side of Love. It's a tale of love, intrigue, and a primitive desire for flesh. So Dark Side of Love is currently on Amazon. You can hit that one click. I believe it's 99 cents. And we also have author Divine Ortiz. He has Urban Love Story. That's currently on Amazon, as well as Jonna Jo Quayer. Y'all would know her. She is on there. She's a promoter, but she's on there promoting for Jessica Watkins, who has Good Girls Ain't No Fun. I actually know somebody that read that book, and they, or books by that author, and they say she's pretty good. But her book comes out in August. So shout out to all of them. And another G Street author, Arthur Catavius Ellis. He's always holding us down in anything we do. But yes, he has Spinelli Cocaine, and she has the book When Love Turns to War, and that will be coming on July the 7th. So you guys, make sure you check Amazon. Keep your cyber eyes peeled for those. Also, G Street has author Swift. He has his book that's coming out on the 8th. G Street got it going on this week. They dropped a book after book after book.
G Street is in charge of 2014. If they didn't know it, we're just going to shout that out right now. 2014 belongs to G Street. Go ahead, Lisa. My bad.
Oh, you all right?
Continue.
We have a good show tonight. I'm super excited. I haven't read anything by these authors. However, I have heard good things about Jake Jones. And I'll read the synopsis for each of the books. But on Facebook. If you look on Facebook where I have my post, I have the links to all of the books. That The Twisted by Jerry Talbert, that is Twisted 1, but there's Twisted 1 and 2 out on Amazon now. Twisted 3, I believe, is coming. And then Jay Jones has the book Scheming, but she has multiple books on that as well. So you want to check that link. It has Jay Jones publication banner on it. It has all the links to the different parts of the series of all of the books. It has all of the authors that will be on here tonight. If you want to check out their work, hit that one click. It is available for you.
All right. Well, yes. All of our reading bosses, if you're on here, you have some great new reads to go out in one click. Coming out of Jay Jones's camp, I had an opportunity to write a charity book with her for domestic violence. We did an anthology. It's called Love Is Blind.
Oh, how'd that go?
Oh, well, man, it went well for me.
Came back out of here in makeup.
But no, you know what? You're so fired. You are so fired. I'm glad
how
you popped right now. Because I'm like getting ready to pass you the mic, so I'm so happy. Because I looked at your seat and I was like, "Dad, he ain't back yet." But I know we have good food in the green room, so whenever that happens, Aaron dips off. So it's all love. But yes, 100% of the proceeds go to a domestic violence shelter in New Jersey. Myself, Jade, author Raymond Francis, Brandon Spivey, and Boo Jackson. We did that. And I had a wonderful time writing it, my portion of the story. And each story was unique and different. And we hope that the readers will go out and one-click that, Love is Blind, under Boo Jackson Presents. And it's a really good anthology. And, you know, those monies go to help women to help fight domestic violence. So we can also ask her about it more when she gets on here. But let's jump off this subject, Erin. you know, the female thug, definitely not a diva. Like, how do you feel about that particular, you know, title that either women are taking or that's given to women? How do you feel about that, Aaron?
I think it's, like, really messed up.
Okay.
I think it just really distorts the true image of a woman, period.
Okay.
You know? So, I mean, I just look at it, to me, it just looked foolish because, I, you know, growing up, the women I knew weren't, you know, they weren't like that. Like, they didn't, you know, my aunts, my older cousins, my grandmother, my mom's, like, they wasn't, you know, like that. So I don't, when I see it, it's like, yeah, whatever, like. You know,
I
look at it in a sense of foolishness. You know what I mean? That's just me, though.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see where you're coming from, but I will say this, you know, coming from a family of women who are very classy and ladylike but would definitely put a gun in your face at any given moment, like I have shared on here before, my great-grandmother did some time in prison for murder because, you know, a guy called her a bitch in a juke joint one night back in the 30s. And she slit his throat from ear to ear. She was definitely not playing. You know, all my aunts, my older aunts, they ran brothels. These were my grandmother's, you know, sisters, her best friends. They ran brothels. They ran the numbers. They were thorough. So I come from a family of, you know, strong females that was definitely about that life. Very classy, though. Carried themselves, you know, very classy, dressed to the nines, had those stretched, you know, vehicles. They just didn't take no mess. And I grew up, you know, under that same tutelage, not taking nothing off of nobody, a man, female, you know, whatever. Now, I think that it has gotten distorted over the years with how women are in gangs and, you know, getting sexed in, getting jumped in, you know, different things like that. Like that right there, I don't support, but you know, having that history, you know, in my family personally, I'm all about a strong female being able to protect herself, being able to assert herself, being able to speak her mind, not being subservient, you know, not being a doormat, you know, for men, not being, you know, some type of sex object for men. But, you know, on the level that some people take it where, you know, young girls are out here running with these guys just doing anything, you know, from the documentaries and things that we watched earlier. I don't support that. But the strength of a woman and being able to assert herself, protect herself, be about her business, you know, and speak her mind and not play with folks, I'm all about that.
Yeah,
I mean, and I'm going to say, go ahead, B.
No, go ahead.
I'm going to say, and it doesn't really have to be a female thug, like Nene was saying, it's just a woman that is sure of herself and how she wants things to be. Because my grandma, she wasn't in the streets, she didn't run the streets, but she, you know, my grandfather always taught, well, I call her my grandmother, she's my great grandmother. My grandfather always brings up, she had pulled the gun on me and she tried to shoot me. My dear didn't play. My great grandmother did not play. She wasn't for no games. Seriously, but she ran her house how she ran her house. It was like this, that, and the other. I remember she would tell the story of my grandfather. Well, my great-grandfather, he used to have a gambling problem. And my mom would say she would be so embarrassed because she would go to his job and get his check. And it would just be, hand me the check. You know, it wouldn't be no extra stuff. You know, so she wasn't for it. She did not play. So I just think that, you know, when you a strong woman, sometimes it takes a strong man to be able to handle that, because not every man can handle a woman that is strong like that. That means that if I'm with you or I'm without you, I can do what I need to do. It doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of men can't handle a woman like that. You got them, they're CEOs. They're COOs, you know, there are a lot of women in professional positions that have that trait or that characteristic. I think it's a good thing. because you have to be able to say either you with me or against me. You know, if you leave tomorrow, I'm good. You know, but you have to be able to say that. You got to be able to stand on your own 2 feet. Because if you don't, you know, and you're always leaning on other people, then when something happens, you don't have anything. You don't have no stability of your own. So it's important.
What you was getting ready to say, Aaron?
I mean, I think it's a very big difference between being a strong woman and being about your business, and then, you know, being a gangster woman, a thug type woman. You know, like, I think there's a very big difference. Like, the women in my family were strong too, but they didn't have to. They weren't involved in, like, a lot of the stuff I see now is just a lot of just. Don't even make no sense, man. It's like a lot of people don't even have no real serious thought pattern now. Like, if you do anything too smart right now, like, you'll be considered stupid in this day and age. You know, so it's like intelligence done took a back seat, and peer pressure and a bunch of other stuff done just ran to the forefront of everything. And the things I see women doing now, as opposed to when, you know, when you were talking about it, it's like a totally different world. Like, these females now ain't engaging in the things that our grandmothers and mothers were getting involved in with serious incidents, if it was anything. It wasn't because somebody walked through this hood and you didn't like them, or they had on the wrong color, or you just didn't like what they had on. Like, even if you ain't like what females had on back in the days, like, y'all would whisper that to yourselves from the stoop and giggle and laugh amongst each other. But all the drama now, man, with the females, it's crazy. Females are still – it's another thing that I'm starting to see, too, that this been going on, though. But a lot of – dude, this is really men's fault. Men is jumping out of birthday cake left and right for these females. I mean, catching cases, catching life bids, and shorty right up with somebody else. Like, you got to be just paying attention to the type of people you're getting involved with, and don't be just jumping out of windows.
Well, you know what, Aaron? In that sense, it's both ways. Like, the story that I wrote in Love is Blind, women are doing that for guys as well. You know, you got some females that's definitely thorough and about that life, and they're doing football numbers too, you know, overdue. But you know what I think also, Aaron, I think that some of what we see is women trying to, you know, struggling to have a place, just like they were struggling to have a place in that era that we are speaking of, coming from being underneath of a man's foot. And then you had, you know, it went back to a time when women went back into the households and they're being housewives and they're home. Then you went back into now women are in the workplace. So I think it's really people not really having a place in society and trying to define themselves in society. Now, I'm definitely not with, like, I saw a video on the YouTube or whatever it was, where it was an older woman. She's sitting on the bench and these little young girls, they around her, they just picked on her, just start talking jive, and she's sitting there talking to them regular tone and trying to get them to go head on. And so, you know, they just all jumped on her and dragged her to the ground and started beating on her. And I'm like, oh my God, like, that could be my mother. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
I've
wow.
I've seen that too. That was whack. I'm not even, see, even with that, like, see, now I'm going back to what I said. Like, even with that, like, even with the first part of what you said.
Mm-hmm.
The women wanting to fit in. That goes back to what I'm saying. Like, that shit, it don't got no intelligence to it, though. You feel me? Like, it don't have no intelligence to it. So it's not, when I'm looking at it, I'm like, yo, the female today is dumber than the female 10, 5, 20 years ago. It's like, it's like, not like you haven't moved forward. You moving backwards. Females been running stuff. Why would you want to switch positions? You was the one who was able to go down in those business districts and get the job. They wasn't giving them jobs to no niggas.
You
know? I mean, like, you was the one able, when this dummy got locked up and had to do the bid, you was the one holding him down, making shit happen outside and inside. the female been was doing her thing. So any female who wants to switch the role and switch and jump back out there and be like, girl, I want to be the unemployed person. I want to be the one running the streets. I want to be the one doing the bed. I want to any of the dumb stuff that men do. That's when sin don't have no intelligence to it. I have a very big problem with things that don't have no type of intellect to it. I get frustrated quick and everything. So like once it ain't no substance to it, it's like, yo, right. Who's paying attention? It's stupid.
Right.
Yeah. But I just want to say my take on the female thug is that I think they're looking for something that they don't have within themselves. You know, I just can't get with a female thug. You know, when I think of thug, female is not the first thing that comes to my mind.
Hmm.
You know, and I just, I that's just my take on it.
Come on, dudes ain't want, dudes did not want they girl out on the block with them back in the days.
Mm-hmm.
Standing up, posting up, none of that. You know what I mean? Like, stay in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come over here. This is where I'm doing my thing at. Don't come over here. You know what I mean? Like, all that was different. Now, it's these younger generations, man. You know what I mean? Like, it's just loose, man. Ain't no structure.
Yeah,
I
think that changed in the 90s. I think that changed in the early to mid-90s, you know, when they came out with that I Need a Gangsta B, Ride or Die Chick. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that is where everything started switching over, because then you started having a dynamic when the female was now on the block. With the dudes, like, you know, I can remember being out there myself all night long, you know, with the dudes, and it was like, it was nothing, you know, and it was females out there all night long, like, it was only a few, but we was out there,
we was riding
with them.
It was,
you know?
Rare, like, you knew, like you would already know, it might be like a handful of females that's about that, and those females, everybody knew them. There was never changing hands.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if this was the bad girl when she was 9, she the bad girl now when she was 16. Like, people already expected that. They already knew.
Right.
It's like these females is coming out the house and they don't even have a chance to grow into a choice.
Because
of what's going on around them. They don't have a chance to grow into a choice because it's so overwhelming in their presence that it's almost like they forced into it unless they're strong enough to just be they self. Your individualism is really disappearing a lot.
Yes, it is. But you know what we're going to do, Aaron? The subject is just so hot. We're going to go ahead on and we're going to drop that beat, then we're going to bring our authors in. I know that we're on a tight schedule because Jay and one of our authors have to get on and get off. But we have, you know, another one of them that's going to ride with us in her absence. But we want to go ahead on and, you know, introduce them, bring them in the clubhouse, and get it jumping, you know, see how they feel about it, you know, authors who write about women and different characters. So go ahead, Aaron, and drop that beat.
Why you struggle and strive? We pick which bins to drive. the mafia. You wanna be him? Most of y'all niggas can't eat without the deal. I'm rich, I'ma stay that. Be hugging, roll with niggas that be thugging, bugging in the tunnel in Esso, sipping espresso, cappuccino with Nino, on a mission for the Lucci Crino. I used to wear Moschino, but every bitch got it. Now I rock colorful mink because my pockets stay nice. Cino after Cino, Frank Gold, hold 15 plus the caterer. You think you're greater,
You niggas got some audacity. You sold a million, now you half for me. Get off my dick, kick it, bitch.
Check my pitch, authentic persona. And I still kick your mom for her socks and bonds. I got that bomb ass cock, a good ass shot. With hardcore flows to keep a nigga dick rock. Sippin' Chippendales, up in Chippendales. Shopping Bloomingdale's for Prada bag. Females done got a hat. No problem, spittin' cream with my team. Shit straight like 915, you know what I mean? Who's the Diamond District with my biscuits? Lost in my Rolex rich shit. I'm rich, I'ma stay that shit.
All right, all right, all right. It is going down. So we're about to go ahead on, and we're going to be bringing in these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guests. I can't wait. I'm excited, 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 excited. And we're going to be able to see how they feel about these subjects. And Miss Leisha, do you have anything you have to introduce before we bring them in the clubhouse?
Yes, yes, yes. I have their bios. Quite a few bios. So we're
start off with Jade. We'll let Jade introduce each one of her authors as we bring them in. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Author and publisher Jade Jones was born and raised. Well, she didn't get that information. Just okay. That she was born in 1989. She began writing poetry as an outlet. She then converted her poetry into short stories later on as a teen. She, as a lot of teens, you know, led a troubled life, which later resulted in her becoming a ward of the court. She fell in love with art and using storytelling as a means of venting during her tumultuous times. I didn't think that's a good thing for teens to be able to do to help them redirect some of that. She aged out of the system 2 years after that. She was thrust into the dismal world of homelessness. She was desperate, and with limited income, she began dancing full-time at the tender age of 18. In 2008, she finally caught a break after getting accepted into Cleveland State University. She majored in film and television. Mm-hmm. 6 years later, she wrote the best-selling novel, Cameron, a series that highly rated, and Scheming, the trilogy. She currently resides in Atlanta. Let's bring in Jay Jones.
Bring on in. Is Jay in the clubhouse?
Hello?
Yes.
Hey.
I thought Leisha was bringing her in.
Your job is the switchboard. Could you get on your job, please? Don't make me come over there. If I get up out this chair, swear to God. Hurry up, Aaron.
I don't have her number.
Oh, now, see, you're clearly bugging. Leisha, could you bring in Jay Jones, please? I don't know what Aaron's doing over there.
I think she's in. Hold on for a second, child. Come on, Jay. You said that like you had a little attitude or something. Like, yeah, I'm in. Like, I mean, what up, man? What's going on?
Hey, I'm good. I'm chilling.
Now, what's going on, Jay? Nah, listen, me and Jay, I know Jay for a little minute, child. I'm just playing with her.
Aaron is a resident troublemaker, so please feel free to enjoy his fly comments, because that's what we pay him for. Thank you for coming and joining us, Ms. Jade. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the clubhouse. I see your growth and development over the years. You know, we definitely are enjoying your contributions to literature. Please give us a little bit about your journey and what you have going on right now at your camp.
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank you for, having me on the show. As far as where I started, I began my self-publishing in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
I was working at Target at the time, up and quit. I wanted to put, all my time and energy into writing. The first check was, $20, so I kept...
Yeah.
I mean, I kept at it, I kept at it, and, it's 2014 now. I've been writing full-time for 3 years, and, I love it. The journey hasn't been easy. People haven't been the quickest to rush to help you, in this industry, so I really had to kind of, learn from scratch. Yeah, I remember I emailed so many people, hit up people on Facebook, I'm a new author. Can you help me out? So many messages went on reply. But, I appreciate.
I know you ain't about
I
to start
it more.
On me live on air.
No. Listen. because
you was getting to it. You was getting to it?
I was about to turn up, wasn't I? I was about to turn up.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just saying. Just research-wise, I just had to get out there and do it. It has people that, have, offered a few tips and everything, like Treasure Blue and you, of course, and David
you
Weaver.
Act like you ain't want to say my name or something. Listen, it don't matter. Listen, they can't stop what you're doing when you talk about me. Don't believe that. You can talk about me. You're still going to keep rolling.
Oh, shoot. Well,
for real.
Jay, Aaron, are you intimidating the guest? I don't know what.
No, I'm just telling her the truth. That's my listen. Jay used to be my peoples when we used to talk every once in a while, and then all of a sudden I don't know what happened. She blew up. It's like, yo, look at everybody.
Oh, that's what happened.
And I'm like, man, somebody must have.
You traded her baseball cap for a fedora, and she just gave you the side eye? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I'm like, yo. Like, what happened? I was one of the people.
I don't know. They don't seem like
I know. I didn't know what happened like that.
She said, I didn't get this. I don't know. But, tonight, we're talking about, the female thug. We're talking about the different forms, the woman who is assertive, who's about her business. I'm listening to your bio and your story, your journey. I know you definitely had to be, assertive about your business, having to protect yourself, being, transformed from one living situation to the next, and then, your unfortunate, career path and different things like that. How do you feel about the female thug or the woman who's out there thugging or doing it just like the man is doing it?
The female thug?
Mm-hmm.
That's what a woman who's doing the same thing as a man is doing?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I feel positive about it. I don't really know what to say. I guess I feel positive.
Okay.
I feel like, I'm out here doing it, so... I don't know.
So the women
shout out to all the independent women that's doing
it. Hold on, we want to add a little clarity. We're not talking about, like, the diva type. We're not talking about the independent diva type. We talking about the independent thug, the thug chick, the moralist woman, the one who going to get it by any means. She, the motherless child type. Like, that's what we talking about. We're not talking about the female diva, the good looking one, the one who you might could slap some wings on.
I don't know,
back.
Aaron. I'm in Atlanta. I'm surrounded by nothing but divas, so I'm. I don't.
No, hold on, Jay. Come on now, I'm in Atlanta now. Come on now,
Aaron.
Come on now, Jay.
Jay,
knock it off, Jay. I just was out there. It's some chicks out there walking harder than me, construction teams and all. What are you talking about? You have to double take. Like, yo, is that a? Oh, nah, it's little mama. I see you. Okay. Yeah, you know I ain't lying.
Why they gotta be a diva when they just independent and trying to take care of themselves and doing what they need to do? But you know,
those are titles that women.
No, those are titles that women gave themselves. I didn't make this up.
But if she's thugging, she's gonna be classified to me. Just like a male that's doing it, because like you were saying, it's still dumb. You're still not thinking about what you're doing. So I don't think the classification
nah,
cause
you know what? Even with
one
men,
is a man and one is a woman.
Nah, even with men, you got gangsters and hustlers. Let me give you an example.
Run it down.
Let me give you a quick example. Frank Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
Was more like they had him with the American Gangster title, but really he was more of a hustler.
Mm-hmm.
He was more of a hustler. He was getting money, business suit, trying to keep things organized on the low, quiet, you know what I mean, just running his business, doing what he had to do, businessman, hustler. The gangster is somebody like let's just say Alpha. Even though he's a hustler, this dude was a killer, just running around reckless all day. Just killing people every 2 seconds for nothing. Like every time you turn around, somebody did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, like that's the difference. Even with men, like men, if a dude is a stick up kid, you ain't gonna never hear nobody that's hustling calling him a hustler. If he's a stick up kid, they're gonna be like, yo, that's a stick up kid. Like that, he's on the gangster side of things because he's coming to take. The
mm-hmm.
hustler's the one out there. You know, even if it's by illicit means or illegal means, like they getting it, they putting a hustle forth to get it. The gangster ain't even got time to even formulate the hustle. He just coming after the eggs is, you know what I mean, hatched. He coming.
But it don't have to be a he. It could be a she. But it's still
I know,
the same.
But no, you was asking me why am I saying diva, and then if the female
yeah,
is then she's a thug. It's,
diva,
the,
got,
it's the same thing for men.
The
you
women
got,
are
saying
you
gangster.
Got that female. Cartel leader and don't know, she's a drug cartel boss, and they want to compare her to Kim Kardashian, Claudia something, and
right.
She's very pretty, and you would think
that's
she was
why
a
they got her as a
when
diva.
You look at her, but she ain't no diva though.
That's
she,
why
they
she,
well,
she is a diva.
She does a
she's
thug.
On a level.
She's a thug.
If she, no, if she running a cartel, she a diva. She at the highest level. She don't got to get her hands dirty. She dressing
she
fly.
Does,
she
though.
Elegant. They ain't passing.
But when she
they
has
putting,
to, she does.
Listen, they are not putting the C-Hag next to Kim Kardashian like, yo, this is Kim Kardashian's counterpart from the drug world. This chick is obviously attractive. She obviously wears fine things. She carries herself in a manner that has been classified as fine. She's not spitting at people and cameras and everything. That's not diva behavior. Even though she may be the head of a cartel, it's your behavior and the way you carry yourself that make you a diva. That's why you have people like Beyonce, that's a diva, and K. Michelle's just that chick that could blow from the hood. It's a difference. You know what I mean? Like, it's a difference because of the way they carry themselves. K. Michelle might go to hell off in a business meeting. So it's a difference. She's not going to be the diva type. She's going to be the chick like, yo, look, we might have to call security. Beyonce going to handle shit like a businesswoman no matter what's going on. She's like, all right, boom. They're not seeing this shit my way. I'm going to have to call my lawyers. It's a difference. It's a different approach.
I understand that, but why she got to be a diva?
Because that's what our hands
are
for. Levels to this shit.
Diva is not positive, though. That's not like a
what?
Positive. You know what I'm saying? Look up the word diva and you tell me if the word diva is positive. When you really look up the word diva, why can't she just be a businesswoman handling her business? She got to be a diva. She got to be everything else but a businesswoman handling her business. That's all I'm asking.
Hey, these are titles that women place on themselves. You know what I mean? Like, it's been absorbed by the women. Like, women brought this up. It ain't like men came up with it like, yo, you know what? You dress like this, you talk like this, you a diva. Women came up with this. Yo, my heels cost $2,000. If chicks ain't wearing $2,000 heels, they ain't divas. You know what I mean? Like, this is women. Y'all came up with this. Men just be following along, just like the club.
Oh, Lord.
For real. Telling you some real stuff, man. What do you think? What do you think, Jay? What do you think a diva is? Do you mind being called a diva?
Yeah, I don't mind it.
That's right. That's a compliment, right? You walking down the street. So for real, you walking down the street. Boom, you on your way. So you walk down the street. You see some guys standing outside or whatever. They go, like, hey, what's going on, diva? That's a little bit different than, hey, what up, boo, or something. You're going to feel a little bit different, right?
Right.
Like they saw something else in you. Like, yo, look, I'm going to step up from a boo. Or, you know what I mean? Like they recognizing what they see as you come, as opposed to, hey, little mama. Oh, what you do? You going to be like, if they hit you with the hey, little mama line, you're going to be like, that, the last 12 niggas I stopped by just said that same shit to me. You're no different. They hit you with the
right.
Diva. You might even look back on your way in the store and smile like, oh, which one of y'all said that?
Right.
Okay, that's the smart one in the crew. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's a difference.
But, Bebo, can you hear me, B?
Yes.
Oh, but it sounds like what you're saying is that it may be levels to this diva and thug thing. You know, when I think of diva, I think of someone that, like Bebo was saying, that she's well-dressed, she holds herself together, she's doing her thing, she's in charge of what she's doing. And when I think of thug, I think of street. You know, like the pants hanging, the shyster ways. That's just me. I mean, I could be looking at it at a totally different way.
She might not have her nails done. She might drink 40s after the niggas she hang out with. You know, like, yeah, that type of behavior. Diva is a certain type of behavior. You could tell a diva about it. Well, Tony's a diva.
Oh.
Tony's a diva, man. Straight businesswoman. Sharp. Smart on a business, like it ain't. It's just a level, man, of a woman, like. And women came up with this. Like, I don't know why Leisha trying to beat me up. Like, in fact, Leisha, I think you the only woman on the phone right now that even has a problem with the diva thing.
All I did was ask why you just can't say she a businesswoman handling her business. She has to be a diva. Really, when you look at a diva, is a woman that's bitchy. You know what I'm saying? Or arrogant. Or, you know, so it's like why she just can't be handling her business. Why you can't call her a boss? Why you don't say she a boss? You gotta call her a diva.
A diva says that. A diva incorporates
but
all
do you
of
have
that.
To use it
incorporates.
It's not Lisa. I think you're getting hung up in the title, and it has nothing to do with that. That particular title is a title that females who hustle and who are beautiful and who are bosses took on. The original
exactly.
title for diva was sisters or goddess with voices. So it never started off as having nothing to do with hustling or anything of beauty. It was women who were goddess of song. The new age, the new generation of female took on the title, I'm a diva. And then it started to go on in that light because they were bosses. They didn't know how to categorize a woman who had on heels but would definitely go in your freaking mouth at any given moment. So they started calling themselves divas. So it's not like it's a title that a man is giving a woman or that even society has given a woman. It is a title that women have taken on for themselves to have a more feminine name for a woman that is beautiful, that has that face, but will definitely go in your mouth at any given second. So I don't think that Aaron has, you know, set out to make up some name to call a woman a diva. It had nothing to do with that. Actually, I never figured out why a woman took it on because the actual term diva came out in the 70s, and it was for women who were beautiful that sang, that command the stage. It had nothing to do with hustling, fighting, none of that. So that's the real history of the word diva. And women took that on. It wasn't a title given to them. They took that on. But Miss J, what's going on over there? We got you in the clubhouse. You know, we'll get to going to town up in here because, you know, we get a subject going and it just gets to popping. So pardon us. If you know, we write among family and friends and everything. We don't care. But, you know, you write different stories. You got strong female characters. What type of mindset do you want your readers to be in when they're reading about your female characters?
Well, I like to make my women relatable. Let me see. I don't know. I just want to feel like they're connected with them, like they can see them being real, or they see some of their own traits in them. You know, sometimes I take some of my own characteristics and put them in my characters. Like, I just want the choices my characters make to seem realistic. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, definitely.
Go ahead, Tony.
No,
I just wanted to say, Jay, this is Tony. Like I told you, it's been a Cameron type of weekend for me. I started yesterday. And I bought the box set, and I'm already up to book three. But this Cameron, you know, sometimes I'm loving her, sometimes I'm screaming on her, sometimes I'm like, girl, are you serious? So,
yeah, I know she gets under people's skin. I get some messages about it.
And I'm like, if there was no bad luck, she wouldn't have any kind of luck. But, you got to love her.
Well, with the first Cameron, I pretty much just tried to write something that was as close to my own life as possible. Of course, you know, some things were dramatized, but, you know, as far as Pocahontas' character, Silk, a lot of the things in the book, you know, was things that I did in my own life. It's like, you know, going to Cleveland stage, stripping. I dated a male stripper back in the day. So a lot of the things I kind of just crammed into Cameron, and it turned out to be, you know, a success. My first success at that, because, you know, my first couple books weren't really popping like that. But then when I wrote Cameron, it was like, okay, yeah. You know, it's like, I guess people feel like they were more connected to me, so they can understand me more. It's like, they could relate. Like, I had some girls hitting me up, you know, like, oh, you know, the things Cameron went through, the dance and everything. You know, I used to dance. That felt realistic, you know. How to date and all that. You know, I just tried to make something that was relatable to women.
That's what's up. Now, I know you have an author that has to come in and has to go out as well. Do you want to go ahead and introduce them so we can bring them in the clubhouse and let them have their say?
Yeah, sure. Jerry Talbert.
Okay.
Are you talking about Jerry Talbert? Because I think it's two of them.
Okay, hold on. One of them has to come out when you come out as well. I think it is Jerry. Hold on. Let's make sure. Leisha, which author is it?
Jerry.
Okay. Is it a male or a female?
Jerry is a male. They're both male.
Okay.
Awesome.
And they both should be in the queue.
All right. Can you bring Jerry in, Leisha?
I sure can.
Thank you. They don't let me work switchboard, Jade. They be like, get out of here, Nene. So,
you want me to bring him in, Leisha? You got him?
He should be
in there. Hey, Jerry. Okay.
Is Jerry in the clubhouse? We can see that his mic is on. Mic check. Is Jerry in the clubhouse? 616-389. You're live in the clubhouse. Is he there? Did he put us on mute? Did he go for dinner? You know, the green room, Jay, has some very interesting things in there, and sometimes people get caught up in the green room. So that might be where he's at. He's in hair and makeup because, like, they go to hair and makeup, and sometimes I don't see them for the rest of the show. So.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Yeah, we can hear you.
You out of hair and makeup?
All right, yeah, I'm on my cell phone, so I don't know if it's, like, the reception or whatever.
Okay, well, welcome to the clubhouse. Thank you for coming out and spending some time with the Right and Royalty crew. We have, you know, the infamous Jay Jones on here. She's in here weighing in on the topic. You know, let us know your journey and what you have out there that the readers can bite into.
All right. Well, you know, I have a series Twisted. I got part one and part two out right now. Part three is coming out on my birthday. That is July 9th. It's coming up.
Cool. All right.
Yeah, and then I also have another book coming out called She's Getting on My Nerves. That should be out later on in the month.
Oh, she's getting on your nerves?
It's an interesting title.
Okay.
Yeah, she's getting on my nerves. So
she was twisted,
yeah, watch,
and then
look,
she got
look
on
out
your nerves.
For that.
Okay.
Yeah. Other than that, you know, as far as how I started, I was just sitting one day, and I was just thinking, you know, and I was looking at Goodfellas.
Uh-huh.
I've been looking at that, and I was like, "Wow, whoever wrote that script, they did a nice job." You know,
phenomenal.
And I was like, "Right," and I was like, "I'm like, well, I guess I'll go ahead and try to go on and write something and see what I can come up with." I was just bullcrapping around, you know. So next thing you know, it came out to be Twisted. Twisted. I wrote Twisted within 3 days.
Wow.
And I wrote it in 3 days.
Can
after
I borrow your hands? Because I'm writing 4 stories. Can I please borrow your hands for like a couple of days?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
After that, books start coming easy, you know. Other than that, the Lord been blessing me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've been striving ever since.
That's a blessing, and I wish you much success, continued success. We know that this is a job that's not easy. You know, we make a lot of sacrifices. You know, we talked about it earlier, being away from your family, your friends, you know, closing yourself in so you can create. So, you know, some people think they see us with a book and they're like, okay, I can write a book. But when you are definitely serious about your craft, it's a lot of sacrifice involved to bring the readers, you know, great piece of work. So,
it's a lot of sacrifice, but it's a lot that I've seen and did in life. You know, I was out there early in teen, you know, and I ran the streets, you know, I was with gangs and stuff like that, and you know, I seen a lot, did a lot, you know, and you know, other than that, you know, I just put like some things together, you know, some half true, half, you know what I'm saying, fiction. You know,
okay.
And I did it from there. So it all really came kinda easy to me because I really know a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and plus I don't discriminate on writing a book. And anything that comes to my mind, I go in there and write it down. Even if it's like on like just a piece of paper, I just write it down and throw it to the side for a little bit. Then go back at it, look at it again. I write titles down, I write everything down. So when I go right back at it again, if I can do a book within that title, I'm gonna go ahead and do that book and get it done. Hey, I stay up on that, I'm vamping, you know, so it's hard work. You know, I told her, thank you. You know, I went to a couple people before I even went to her, right? And they looked at me and everything, but see, they didn't know what they was looking at. You know, because when I went to these people, I already had 12 books done. They didn't even know it.
Okay.
And
okay.
See, the thing about that is now they mad because they hit me back, and I told them I already got somebody. Told the name and everything. Now what messed it up? Now somebody probably got fired, just like how 50 Cent, you know, what happened to him? You know what I mean? Before he got on, you know, he got shot. But he was getting on. I think what was it, Columbia? And then once he got shot and went to the hospital and all that, and they dropped him. When he got out of the hospital, Dr. Dre them picked him up. Now somebody from Columbia got fired. You know what I mean?
Ain't that crazy?
So
they was looking at them with the side eye.
this was going on right now with me. Right now, I'm getting, you know, my movie is getting filmed. I'm doing a lot of things, different things, you know, that keep me more focused instead of, you know, in the streets because I don't want to go back there. If I go back there, I'm going back, you know, so I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
so
I'm more focused now. That's right. And see, how
do
you go back because we're not going that way.
I'm glad he brought up the movie too, because I was sure I was gonna say something. Is that a movie trailer I see on your page, Mr. Jerry Talbert? So I'm glad you brought it up, because I sure was getting ready to ask.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Miss Tony had a question for you, Jerry. Go ahead, Miss Tony.
Hi, Jerry. This is Tony. Alicia, I did see that movie trailer, and I'm glad you brought that up. But for me and our listeners, Jerry, in addition to reading Cameron, I also started reading Twisted. So I'm into a couple of chapters. But can you just give us just a little bit about what this story is about without giving it away, and what me and the listeners can expect as we move forward in our pages?
Okay, as far as Twisted, it's really twisted. I wanted to do the book different from everybody. Like start from the middle, then the beginning, then the end. You know, I wanted to do that little Quentin Tarantino thing. So
yes,
that's what I did.
Fiction. Yes.
Right. Yeah. That's what I did. And what's going on with that is, it's nothing but greed and lust and envy. You know, and I'm gonna tell you, Legend. Legend is he's the worstest crime boss you ever seen in your life. You know. He don't care about anything. Nothing. You know, he got a treacherous mind. He don't care. So when you start reading about him, you might be mad. You know, so just bear with me.
Okay.
But far from that, he just wants everybody blocked. From that point on, everybody just start being on point and all that. So that's what the story is really about. It's about really basically drama.
Well, let me ask you something right quick. I mean, you talked about, you know, being out there, being in the street hustling. You know, tonight we're talking about, you know, the female thug, the female hustler, you know, the one that's either, you know, out there on the block. We talked about the different variations, you know, of that, where you have the ones that's just reckless. They just out there like, you know, then you have, you know, the strong female who's about that business. How do you feel about that title, you know, the female thug, the gangster, the... You know, the one that's out there with the man on hugging the block.
Well, that's what I do have a couple females in my book.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, they are straight thugs. They will kill you in an instant. You know, but they lovable too.
Okay.
So the book got it all in there. I'm not going to say a lot of things because.
Yeah, don't spoil it.
They probably didn't read it. Right. I'm not gonna spoil it, but just watch out. I'm gonna tell you the names, Mickey and Tez. Watch out for them.
Okay.
Especially Tez.
Well, how do you personally feel as you watch the generations changing? Because from the tone of your voice, you sound like you're from a different era, not, you know, in this era here. How do you feel about what has changed in the way, you know, women are, you know, out there right now? In the streets doing time, and you know what I'm saying, like doing some of them doing more than men are doing. How you feel about that?
How I feel about it is television, you know, by looking at all these, you know, wannabe thugs, you know what I'm saying, on videos and stuff like that, even doing the faggot jail sack, you know, and stuff like that. You know, these kids is growing up just listening to that. Not like old tradition, like when your mom make you go to church, you know, so even though you hated to go to church, but when you get older, you know, and you still probably went to the streets, you still thinking about that church.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of these kids and these females, I mean, these males and these females, they acting the same way for some apparent reason. And the reason why I'm saying they acting the same way because the males is acting more female-y.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'm seeing a lot of males doing this mess. You know what I'm saying? And I'm trying to figure it out. I was just talking to a friend the other day about that. Like, hey, what can we do to try to change it? You can't do anything because it's already set and done. It's up to the parents, if they do have any parents, or whoever that's guiding them.
Okay.
You know, they don't have a lot of these kids don't have no guidance no more. You know, these kids right now, it's so bad, man. You slap one of these kids, put them in their place, shoot, they're going to shoot your ass off. Excuse me. You know what I mean?
Yes, immediately,
so
without
you gotta,
no prejudice.
You got to be ready for the outcome of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, just the other day, I had to put a little shorty in his place.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I didn't know what was going to happen, what was going to be the outcome. But I know one day I was going to think who was going to shoot each other.
Okay.
But that just, I mean, I'm just being real, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I'm just from a different era. And
yeah.
I was brought up right. You know, my mother, I'm telling you, she was like the man and the female. You know, I mess up, believe me, she set me straight. You know what I mean? I love her to death.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, I understand.
If you go on my Facebook page, you're going to see her everywhere.
Where's Aaron? Aaron, how are you feeling about what Jerry just shared with us, Aaron?
Yeah, I mean, this young generation is out of control, man. But I say what I always say about that. You know, my motto is that's our kids. You know what I mean? We really the ones responsible. You know what I mean? Like, I can speak from direct experience. You know, I got a grown son, 23-year-old son, about to be 24 next month.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been in prison since he was 16.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm speaking from direct experience. Ain't mean nothing. I'm guessing out of nothing. Like, these are our kids, man. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, the things we were doing
mm-hmm.
is a reflection of what we see now. And you know, it's not getting better. It's getting worse.
Mm.
You know, because, you know, the generation of our kids that are now having kids, they're worse than what we was doing. You know, the stuff that we was doing led them to what they was doing, and now they worse than what we was doing. So they kids, our grandkids and such is going to be, you know, crazy and it's scary, honestly, to be real, real honest with you, because as I get older, I don't know about other people, but as I get older, I start viewing the world different. Something I may have thought 20 years ago, I may not feel that way now. You know what I mean? Like, I'm
right.
20 years ago, somebody might have been doing something near me or by me, and I might have not said nothing. You know what I mean? It might have been like, whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Today, I'm more aware. I might be like, quick, like, yo, listen, y'all better get away from me with that. Like, don't, seriously, because you have to let people know, like, listen, I'm not going to jail for you. You know what I mean? Don't come by me, but get away from me. I'm not with that. Like, you have to let people know. Like he said, these kids is out of control.
Right.
You feel me? And they don't even know what they're doing. You know what I mean? And you don't want to end up getting rounded up for something that actually has nothing to do with you. Trouble is easy to get into, hard to get out of. My grandmother used to always tell me that.
Ooh,
and I never really used to listen to it. Like, I never grasped it. But as you get older, your thinking changes. And these kids
right.
that's acting up now, 20 years from now, they may be the kids that have, God forbid something happened to me and I have to be in a nursing home or something. These are going to be the kids on watch.
Oh, Lord.
You know what I mean? They're going to be at work drinking. You know what I mean? I'm seeing it now.
People
taking care of people, supposed to be at these nursing homes and stuff. They drinking, they partying, posting pictures on Facebook. That's scary to me.
Yes.
You feel me?
Yes.
Like, that's scary mm-hmm. to me because these, come on, man, these kids is irresponsible, man. At least with us, when I was coming up with the bad stuff we used to be doing, like, we used to have to take that shit around the corner.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like nobody, like, it was definitely time out when somebody older was coming into the building. Like, it wasn't no selling, nothing. Everything just stopped for a minute. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything just stopped.
Right,
it was
right.
respect. You know what I mean? It was a whole different, we ain't cursing in front of people's mothers and grandmothers coming in. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Even your own friends will snatch you up in your collar if you did something like that. Now,
yeah.
crazy, man. These kids will pull out their phone and videotape an older woman getting beat up, robbed, anything. You know what I mean?
Hey,
so it's
that's
like,
crazy.
Yeah,
that's
like,
I think one of them.
I can relate to this generation because I know that these are our kids, but I can't relate to the lack of intellect because I know that we weren't that bad. Like, we did come from an intelligent era because I know we were sneaking around doing our shit. We had enough
right.
sense to know to do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And these kids now, they just don't even care.
Be wildin'. But we got a hand up, Aaron.
Kids is ready
to
die. Kids is ready. Like, it's like they born to die. They really ready. Like, when Biggie came out with Ready to Die back in, like, 94, I was like, 20, 21. Nobody my age was really ready to die. You know, that was just that was music. It was entertainment.
Right.
Now, these kids are serious. They get tatted on their body.
Yes.
They ready, you know, they ready to jump in their casket immediately. They ready to go out in a blaze of flames. They are really seriously ready to die. When I was coming up, the average black male is dead or in jail by 25. Now, the average black male is dead or incarcerated by 15, yo.
That's
a 10-year drop. A 10-year drop in just a little bit of time.
Yes.
That's crazy. Our kids
less
only have 15 to look forward to?
That's like 20 years, Aaron. That's like 20 years within that year, within a 20-year period or less.
For real.
like my best friend, her son, you know, he got killed a couple of years ago, but a little bit before he got killed, he had tatted on his arm, rest in peace, with his name, like his own, on his own body already.
Yes.
I didn't know he was dying. He didn't even make it to 21.
This generation done flipped, Joe. The whole generation done flipped. Like, seriously, like, that's why I be really trying to, this ain't no plug, but this is a plug. But I really be trying to encourage people to read that book till my casket drop, yo, because it shows the fluctuation in the generations, how one generation was doing wrong and how the next generation picked it up and took that shit to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like,
well,
bring
in a caller for us right quick, Aaron, so that we can get somebody on here that may want to talk to Jay or Jeremy before they have to leave the clubhouse.
Okay, well, let's go with who we had on here the longest. I've seen this caller from day one. 773-952, good evening. You are live with the Right and Royalty crew, Jay Jones and Jerry. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, what's going on, man? It's Karan Fremont.
Hey, how you doing?
Karan Fremont, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, man. How y'all today?
Oh,
we're
just
well,
trying to
well.
Okay. Yeah.
I seen you here from the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah, man. I try to be, you know, off black people time, you know. I try to.
Okay.
That's what's up. So, did you have something you wanted to weigh in on?
You know, y'all got a lot of interesting topics, man. Where y'all want me to start?
Wherever you want to start at, just the clubhouse. Let it rip.
Well, I think about what Aaron was talking about, Aaron Bebo. He was basically talking about, you know, how I think he sounds old, man. I think it's one of those things where I hope I never, ever get to the point where I think that way. That's the same way our parents thought and our parents' parents thought and our parents thought. I think now the only difference is Aaron's reached the age where it's affecting him. Because they always say, you know, the next generation is going to be a little bit more open, a little bit more extreme, just take the notch out a little bit more. It's always going to be that way. I mean, it's always, if it's not, then there's no progress. That is the progress. I think people being a little bit more open with this stuff they were doing. If you look back to the 50s and stuff like that, when everything was black and white, you had Pleasantville and shit like that. And now, it's like black and white, yin and yang. But if you look over the whole span of, it's been like 50, 60 years, then it kind of, it's not as bad, because it's like, you know, people had to change. Because we wouldn't probably be on the internet right now if we were in Pleasantville and shit. Everybody was scared of the internet and all type of shit like that, you know?
Just real quick on that point, I just beg to differ. I do sound old, though. I grant you that, definitely. I sound like my mother, my grandmother, none of that. And you know what? Both of them.
You got wisdom,
man. My mother and my grandmother both sat in a funeral. I watched them. They buried my brother. Both of them outlived my brother. You feel me? So me sounding old and sounding like I'm pretty happy with that. Maybe 20 years ago I might have been like, but now I'm kind of happy with that, because I've come into that understanding that they got. I'm glad I came into that age where I could be able to peep a little bit of life on how they see it and how they were trying to raise me. I'm glad I grasped a little bit of that. But I beg to differ on the more so to your point on the things are better now. Things definitely are better now. Education is way lower now. Kids are smarter. Kids were smarter 20 years ago than they are now, so there's no way it could be better. Kids, like, and as far as the computer age, the computer, that's cool. Technology is just cool and all that. But what we're bringing out, what we're kicking out, is a whole bunch of know-it-alls with no answers. Another future know-it-all with no answers, because they go to Google, they get the answer, and then when you say, hey, explain it to me, they can't. They don't know the formula. So what we're breaking out with is a bunch of know-it-alls with no answers, like I said, and I don't want those people on duty while I'm walking around, and they're the ones supervising me. I don't want that. I want somebody to know what they're doing.
Yeah, and I have to agree with that about the intelligence level, because – in our day, it was like, go look something up. You had to go get 50 encyclopedias and the dictionary and definitely do some research. In this day and time, I walk into my college classroom. Of course, I'm the oldest one in the classroom, but the professor is telling students, please don't email me in text language. I'm like, get the heck out of here. Somebody really emailing the professors with text language. I'm like, if you email me in text language, I won't answer it at all. I looked around the room. I was like, is this happening? Like, our children, even though technology has their minds bubbling on a certain level, on another level, they cannot use phonetics. They cannot act. They cannot quickly do multiplication and division. Like, it has dumped down society in that realm. So in that way, I would have to disagree too, as well as things getting better. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, weigh in.
Hey, are you talking? You guys talking to me?
Yes, baby. I'm sorry. I forgot your name. I'm sorry.
Hey, I thought we had a caller. I mean, I agree, but I mean, I don't think I said that, you know, that it's better now. But I think people really are more educated about, say, Google and that stuff takes away. But I mean, it's very quickly. A lot of people don't never wanted to go to the library and pick up something. Quickly pick up my phone or something. That's one thing. But as far as Aaron was saying also about, you know, Google's being the who are going to take after you and going to look after you. That's probably the same thing they were saying about y'all. I mean, an example, like, Aaron, like, let me give you an example. You don't sound old, because you sound like you're from New York. You sound like you have that very New York accent. You know, it's very young, if you think about it, in terms of music and hip-hop. But, you know, that's kind of like, it's kind of crazy. That's becoming outdated. Because even people from New York don't even sound like that really no more. I mean, I think that the knowledge of the internet, period, people being together, and, you know, even people from the South don't sound like they sound like that. I mean, so I think a lot of things are progressing. Can't say it's good. Progress is progress. All progress is good.
Okay, well, thank you, beloved. We appreciate you calling in and weighing in on our subject. Please continue to listen to the show and definitely always raise your
hand. Yo, hold on. Ain't you the author, though?
No,
that's what I meant to ask
him.
I thought you was the author, right? Because I was going to cut in.
That's what I was saying when she said call her the first time. I'm like, call her. I'm like, I don't know.
You know what? I'm just going to just go ahead and apologize for that because, like, they don't let me see the roster. Like, they tell me that we have the show, but I don't know the roster. I'm sorry. Just give me
a I'm crying. Everybody crying.
This Nene and I'm crazy. So, I'm sorry. My bad. Go ahead. Let somebody else take over the show. Go ahead, Aaron.
We're going to bring in another caller, though, but you stuck with us.
Jay, please bring your author back and don't tell him that Nene got problems mentally. Just go ahead.
616-773. Good evening. You are live with the Right and Royalty crew, Jay Jones, Jerry, and our brother. What did you say your name was one more time, brother?
Oh, man. I got to change my name. I need a new name. Not real.
I heard Karan, but it was something else.
It's Karan Freeman. Karan Freeman.
Karan Freeman.
Freeman.
Karan Freeman. See? I apologize. I wanted to get the full name.
Yeah.
Who are we speaking with? 616?
Maybe they don't want to talk.
616-773, you alive?
No.
Hello?
Okay.
Hello? Hi, this is Hattie.
Hi, Hattie.
How are you?
Hattie? Hi, how you doing? I'm doing fine. I have a question for Jerry Tarbert. I read Twisted. Mm-hmm. I love the book. Number one, yet if I have to say so myself. But I wanted to know, how did you change that character with Tez and Mickey, being so thuggish, but being so ladylike at the same time? I need you to run it down for me.
Okay.
Oh, well. I mean, I really can't really go into that because a lot of people haven't read the book. You know, it's grounds about that, but I just wanted to keep it sexy, like, you know, gangster with them. You'll see throughout. Did you read the whole book?
I read the whole book, babe. I know it inside out.
Oh, real reader on deck.
Uber fan.
No, I'm not a goose, baby. I read the whole thing. I'm down packed, but I think I'm number one fan, and he probably don't even know me.
Oh, wow.
But the book is perfect. I love the book. Legend, I cannot stand.
Okay.
Legend is an asshole, straight out point blank.
All right.
Like he said, a lot of people haven't read the book, so I can't break it down the way I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But also to the other author that's there and the guy that said that you sounded old. Well, baby, if you sound old, you keep on sounding just like you sounded because you made plenty of damn sense that I don't think old boy understood.
Oh.
I just think that it's just probably just a little generational gap.
It is a generation thing. And like Gary said, you know, your kids are like that. Me, myself, I'll bust one of mine in the face, so it don't bother me. But the point is both of you speaking right on that subject because kids are so disrespectful, and then they worried about the young girls out here, 12 and 13-year-old girls, which look better than us. You don't blame the kids for the clothes they wear. You blame the parents.
That's kind of true.
Because the parents are dressing the kids for what they like, not the kids like.
Caller. It's Karan. Mm-hmm. I want to talk back. Hey, I wasn't saying, like, all kids, because, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Some people, I live in Chicago. I'm from the South Side, so I'm in the thick of things, Chief Keef, uh-huh. all that stuff. But it's like you can't put a generalization like that on everybody because I myself am not like that at all. Like,
okay.
I understand that, but you should have clarified
that because the way you explained it is like you was putting that on there, honey.
I do think...
I want to say one thing, and even though we say the kids have to be raised by somebody, they have to have some sort of example somewhere.
Right.
So sometimes, and we're not going to say, like he was saying, he didn't say all kids, but sometimes parents, we don't realize, and I think this is what Aaron was saying as well, that some of the things that we do affects our children down the line. And then when we get down the line and we see the product, then we want to complain. But nobody was complaining during the process. I think it's unfortunate that men and women, but especially black men and women, do not realize until their kids are grown and they're older in age that both parents are required when raising a child. Everybody has to have some sort of input. You got to watch what you say. You have to watch where you go. You have to watch who you associate with because they're watching you and they will replicate the things that you do. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, and
so
that's what I was speaking on.
I don't think either one of them meant anything wrong.
The only thing that I'm speaking on is that if you look at it, a lot of parents dress the kids the way they want to be dressed instead of dressing them. You see 12-year-olds walking around with boobs bigger than ours, and they're dressed hotter than women's on the video.
But when you got a baby having a baby, what do you expect? There's a lot of babies having
babies. There you go. You ain't it.
Hold on. Let me just touch on that real quick, too. Nancy brought that up. That really has no real merit, and I'm going to tell you why. Because back in the days, like people were saying back in the 50s, all that, let me tell you something, women was leaving their home at like 14 and 15 going off getting married. My grandmother was one of those women, and they were raising kids.
They were raised before then. They were raised a certain way to be a certain type of female. If you are not finished
being
raised...
Who's raising a 14-year-old to go off and get married in any
day
and age?
Back in the day, they grew them to be married. Back in the day, they groomed them. You're going to be married?
Definitely
in
North
America.
They groomed them to be married. Hold on. I don't think y'all understand what I'm saying.
And this is what you need to know. Nowadays, they don't have that. You went out, you made a dumb choice and a dumb decision. You wasn't thinking. Now you got a baby that you have to raise, and you have not been raised yourself. You can't tell that baby nothing more than what you already know, which is really nothing because you only got 6 years of life to give this
child. So therefore, that is a baby raising a baby.
Baby.
They have not been raised themselves.
I understand that. What I'm saying is, back in the days, when I say North America, I'm talking about America, the United States of America. Back in the days, y'all, when I say 40s, 50s, this is my grandmother's time. My grandma's doing, well, she was born in the 30s. So let's just say in the 40s. Nobody was grooming their child to be married. It was happening, but that wasn't what that nobody was grooming their child. What was going on back then is children had responsibilities, meaning the child knew that they had the they had to take care of the house. They knew how to wash dishes. They knew how to do laundry. They knew how to do all of the things that would be expected of them as a responsible adult because they was getting raised by an adult. Not that the woman was there, like, I'm going to teach you how to do laundry and cook and do this, that, and the third, because by the time you're 14, I need you out the house married. No.
I disagree. I disagree with you, Aaron, on that one. And I do, too. And I definitely do.
Yes, they wasn't grooming them to go out and be a CEO. Wait. They were grooming the females that you're going to be a certain age, you're going to have a husband, and you're going to have children, and you need to know these things. They're not saying you're going to go to school, you're going to go to college, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. They did as time went on. But in the beginning, no. Women,
they were putting them out fast as they could get them out to keep seeing another person.
Have a husband. So when you were 14, you knew how to have a husband, take care of a house, and take care of kids because you were taught. However, nowadays,
kids
are not taught. They are not raised. And by the time they have babies, they still have learning to do. So they stop 6 years into their life because if you take away 6 from 12, you only got 6. 6 years of your life that you walking and talking and doing what you need to do, now you decided to go out and have a baby. Now, things happen. People make bad choices all the time. But the thing is, are you going to change the way you do things so that in life you don't fall back on dumbass choices and stupid ass
And they
decisions?
Have they have choices in life now.
Guys, I just wanted to bring it back to my book. I didn't really get a lot of time to talk about my book. But, you know,
Karan. Go ahead and talk about your book. We sorry. We didn't go all the way off the left field.
All right, that kind of ties, that conversation is actually tied to my book. I have a character, his name is Raiden, and he has a brother who's a drug dealer. Now, because his brother's a drug dealer, you know, I mean, he was able to go to private school and actually see more things. Because I actually think that a lot of things, you're a product of your environment. If you're around, you know, a lot of bullshit, a lot of drug dealing, a lot of people with no sense, a lot of bad examples, then you're going to be that. But the character Raiden, he was actually, you know, because he was in a position where his brother had that money, he was able to go, you know, out of state, out of the country. He was able to actually see different things, and he's actually a different person because of that. He's actually more well-rounded. He actually has a friend named Vino who hasn't been exposed to any of that, so he's a straight nigga, period. So you kind of can tell the difference. But the thing about Raiden, Raiden's actually a very given person, but you can actually, you learn that you can never give enough, you know what I mean, because you, once you have that mentality, you know what I mean, you're going to be that way. So to kind of tie that in what you guys are saying, I mean, if you guys want, you know what I mean, your children, I don't know if you guys talk about your children or the next generations, if you guys want them to be, you know, different than what they are now, if you want something different, you have to expose them to something different, because them waking up every day and going to the block, and going to sleep, and then coming up on the block again, you're going to get the same result. You have to put them in a better spot. I mean, that's it. That's all.
Right, exactly. That's how I feel about what I read Twisted. You know, I said, wow, you know, he acts like he know my life. Because that's how good the book is, and you guys really need to get it. It's a good book.
Yes.
He really put a lot of effort in that book, and I really like it because he's a beginner. And that was perfect.
Wow.
No, he got 3 coming out? That's good.
That's a blessing.
That's what's
up. Thank you for that. We thank you for that.
And that's a movie.
Hit his inbox when you get an opportunity so that you can be able to ask those questions that you can't ask on air so we don't spoil it.
Girl, I got it all.
Okay.
What's your name? Your name is Hattie, right?
That's right.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank
we
you.
We definitely appreciate you calling in.
Yeah.
Okay. Y'all have a good day, okay?
Yeah, and continue to follow the show, Writing Royalty.
I sure will. I got it programmed in my phone, baby.
Yeah, we have some interesting things going on here.
You don't want to hear half the stuff I be talking about.
Nah, you we never wanna... know. You never know.
Okay, because I'll be hitting you up, baby.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, y'all have a good evening.
Thanks for calling.
You bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Wow, wow. So, Miss J, is Miss J still in the clubhouse? Do we still have Miss J in the clubhouse? Yes, would you like to weigh in on anything that's being said that has come from the authors or the caller?
Well, it was a, I don't know, it was a very interesting topic a few minutes ago. It felt like, I don't know, it was like generation versus generation. So, I mean, I'm more like an observer. Like, in real life, I'm very quiet. I'm very shy. I'm always taking in, you know, my surroundings, and I listen a lot. So, I really don't have much to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about the
girlfriend? Nah, we ain't letting Jade off the hook with that. Like, you shy and all that. In real life, this is the real show. So we need your answer. You had something bubbling in your head while it was going on. We want to know that. We want to have the Jay Jones experience. We want to know what you viewed, what you see.
We want the Jay Jones that's in the chat room right now. Chat room, Jay.
Yeah.
Well, first and foremost, you know, Karan is closer to my age, so he's, you know, what he was saying was a little bit more relatable to me. I really love his energy. So, I mean, he's very passionate about things. He's passionate about his career. He's passionate about his opinion. And it's because of that, you know, I've reached out and wanted him on my team.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's awesome. How old are you guys? Because y'all about to make me feel elderly. When we say age group, what age group is this?
He's 25. I'm 24.
Oh my God! I got
I was
shoes
about to say,
older
Jade
than
ain't even 30 yet.
Oh my goodness! I think I got a hat and some shoes that's about 25 in my closet. But that's neither here nor there. That it's good to hear the generations. You know what I'm saying? I think me and Aaron are the old. Oh, no, well, we got Miss Tony on here. We probably the old heads definitely. Of the crew. As a matter of fact, Tony been married for 22 years, so y'all was about 1 and 2 years old when she got married. So she got a marriage that's about y'all age. But, you know, it's good to hear the different feedback in the generations because y'all are living in this generation, and we have lived before y'all got here. So when y'all get to our age, y'all going to look back and have the same opinions because the things that affect you or don't affect you right now will affect you later. Like Aaron was talking about, when we get older, that this next generation is going to be in charge. So, yes, I am very concerned, you know, when I walk somewhere and you got
but,
young boys,
you know,
who don't hold no doors. It's crazy.
I don't know about all that because, I mean, it's like my mother say, you know, sometimes you're too old to change. You get set in your ways. I'm 24, but just because I'm 24 doesn't mean my mindset is going to change because I'm older, because I'm living life now. I've been through things, you know, people twice my age have gone through, you know, and I didn't break, and I'm still going. I pay taxes. I got to pay $10,000 a year, you know. Like, this is not a joke. You know, I'm living, this is life, you know, and age,
yeah.
You know, it has nothing to do with anything, you know, like, this is serious out here. So I don't know. I always feel so biased when people, you know, oh, you know, when you're my age, you're going to, you know, think the same way. Like, no, I'm going to be me just when I'm doing that. I'm going to be doing it then. Like, nothing's going to change.
It's not to say that when you get their age that you're going to be like them, but I'm guaranteeing you in another 10 to 15 years, whoever you are now today is going to be then progressed and developed.
Yeah, oh, most definitely.
That's
I'm a different person. I was 5 years ago.
Exactly.
Right.
All right, there goes your point.
Absolutely.
Right there. You're five years older and you change. So for you, like, you're going to change. Your thinking is going to change as you get older because, it's only right. Unless you're going to stand still.
If you're in the same place, how you feel.
If you're in the same place 20 years from now that you are right now, then really you should be viewing that as a problem. If you're, when I say the same place, I mean your mind, your mind frame. Because the things you want right now may not be the things you want 20 years from now, because you may have already acquired those things. So what are you going to do, get them again?
But, I mean, really, all it is my mindset is going to be the same. I'm just going to have more knowledge. Like, knowledge is everything. It's going to lead me where I need to be in life, you know. Like, as I get older, I'm just going to say obtain more knowledge. Like, I'm smarter than I was 5 years ago. You know, I don't know. To me, it feels like it's the key, you know. So I really don't. I don't really think on that level. I don't know. I'm into secret. I'm into, you know, I have this whole little mantra. You know, I'm big on reading, you know, inspirational books and, you know, things like that. So I don't know. I just think on a different level. I try to think outside the box. And I'm the type of person, if everybody go right, I got to be the one to go left. I'm a Scorpio, so I'm just like. I don't know.
Because even though, I mean, I can understand both sides. When, and, you know, you say you're concerned, but really I can understand that if people change and they grow and they evolve, that means that kids, whatever they're doing right now, they won't be doing 10 years from now. So by the time they get 20, 30 years old, their mindset would have changed. The things that they have done would have changed. And with their advance as far as education technology, they're able to move with the times. I can understand how, okay, well, I wouldn't necessarily mean I will worry about when I get older, because really if they have certain things now and they just haven't developed mentally, once they do, I think that down the line we will be okay.
Not me. I'm seeing people at work taking care of the elderly, and they taking shots in their uniform late night. You know what I mean? To bring the new year in, or some shit like that. What do you mean?
Is
it the same generation we talked about?
Are they doing it at 50? Are they doing it at 50?
Nah.
You
know what it is? They doing it at 22 to somebody who is 50. That's my point. They doing it at 22 to somebody who is 50 that may be stuck in that situation.
But that's not every person at that age. I know people that are 22, 23 that can write a program. They can read.
All right, and guess what? They're the minority.
Without
the minority, Lisa.
Wait.
Because the majority.
Just for technology itself. Kids nowadays are self-sufficient with technology. They learn on their own. They can write a program.
Do that mean
12.
They know anything?
Like,
seriously, I'm not trying to be funny, but because I can access some information on my own, does that mean that I actually learned anything?
Aaron,
the information doesn't mean anything.
Aaron, this is it's Karan, man. I got an example for you, right? So this, me and my buddies, we were talking the other day, and we were talking about older generations, because it's good, you know, we y'all have a lot of wisdom and stuff that we don't have, but just in terms of black men. Yeah, okay, so we got Jesse Jackson, right? We got Al Sharpton. We got Cornel West. We got a lot of these people, right? Now, who the hell are they mentoring? Who are they? Do you know anybody who has, like, is there a Big Brother program? Is it getting into politics and shit like that?
Right.
Y'all have
right.
a lot of knowledge. It's like, we're on the radio show. We're talking about it. But, Aaron, like, it's not a lot of y'all, like, grabbing us. Well, I ain't going to say us.
Right.
I don't know how old you are. But it wasn't, when I was growing up, it wasn't a lot of people setting up these mentor programs. So when you can't. I had this conversation with my dad. You can't really talk shit when you weren't there to breed what I was, what I became. You can't. All you can do is say, okay, I'm glad you became. I'm glad you're surviving. Because if you weren't there for my progression, then you just got to kind of sit there and be like, okay, do your thing. Let me learn the way I learned, period. You know what I mean? Just,
right. Mm-hmm.
So,
I agree.
Nah,
I
but it's not
agree.
That we weren't there. I was there, and I was the problem. The first thing I said was, these are our kids.
Right.
That was the very first thing I said. I said, these are our kids.
Because
I'm not, you know, I know the experience.
Right.
I know the experience.
Right.
The only thing I'm saying is, like, people are really, like.
I remember you said earlier in the conversation, you were out the other day. Was it you or, I don't know if it was Jerry, I mean. Not no disrespect, but it's like y'all were out and y'all were around a younger guy or something, and y'all thought something was going to happen. and y'all, you ready to shoot them. You ready to quick draw. Instead of
you
being ready to quick
why?
Draw, why you couldn't be ready to quick spit some of the words you spit to me right now? You know
you
what
know
I mean?
Why?
Because that's what we need, because we already killing each other. Now, I'm not killing anybody, but people my age are already killing each other. But, shit, y'all talking about killing us, too. I went to a neighborhood watching meeting when I came back from school from Kentucky because it was racist shit out there. I came to Chicago thinking I'm going to try to change something. I went to a neighborhood watching meeting because I'm thinking, like, yo, I'm going to head my block and I'm going to get it popping, right? I go in there. I wasn't talking about shit, but how to secure your home and how to do self-defense. Y'all are scared of us.
Yeah,
y'all are more
you know what?
Scared of us.
Nah, you know what? You're right. You're right, and think about now. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something funny, right? That you said that. Now, 20 years ago, Biggie said on Ready to Die, "Look at our parents. Even now, they call in the city for help to maintain because they scared of us." He was saying that when I was your age. He was saying that about me, about us. Look at our parents. Even now, they fucking scared of us. He was saying that then. So what you're doing now is nothing new. It's not that I'm scared of you now. It's that I'll plug you quicker now because I know what you're about, and I'm not playing with you. But that wasn't me who said that I would shoot the kid. That was Jerry. What I was saying was, no, but I'm not throwing nothing on Jerry because I'm saying the same thing. Like, we're not, but what it is that we know where y'all come from. I know who I can talk to and who I can't. I know the kids I can talk to and the ones I can't. I know when this dude done went too belligerent, he's getting too belligerent right now, he's not going to be thinking about the fact that I'm an elder and he needs to respect me. I know that he's too far gone. So now I might have to smack him in front of his friends to wake him up. Like, who do you think you're talking to?
That's
you know, because sometimes these young kids be getting it confused.
Hey, Aaron,
like, we don't come from that.
Go ahead, come on. What you say?
Yeah, but that's the reason why we had the same thing we have going on today. I thought we were having a conversation to change things. You know what I mean? I don't know.
But it is to change things, but I'm not going to – listen, there's not – listen, even Reverend – you think – let me tell you something. Jesus wasn't no fool. Jesus knew he needed gangsters rolling with him back in those times because people would have stoned him and all that. You see Peter cut the dude ear off, right? They not playing. He needed bodyguards. He knew that even in his times. He couldn't just go walking around talking all this stuff and people wasn't standing. He had people with him. Like, yo, look, he talking about, but chill, because he got them 12 dudes over there rolling with him with the swords. You see them dudes with the swords? They going to go in if something happened. Wasn't no
game. Like, my brother was a drug dealer, right? My brother was a pretty prominent drug dealer in the early 90s. Now, he told me, because I thought it would come a time where it would be something for me to do, you know what I mean? Because I didn't know, you know what I mean? But it's like, their shit was structured. They had meetings. You couldn't miss school. Your ass whooped. Like, it was really structured. But it's like once they got rid of the – it's like everything else with black leadership, what I was telling you about who's next. When you get rid of one leader, when you get rid of the top, nobody else is ready to step in because y'all so glorified, y'all so busy worrying about, oh, I'm the man now to even train the next guy. So that's why when we get locked up or when they kill Dr. King and Malcolm X, we fuck. You know what I mean? So it's like, why don't we just take time, man. It took a while. It took China, after all that shit with the railroads and everything, it took China years to come back from that shit. Now they, right there, next year, our ass ready to pop us off. All we need to do is take time to build those leaderships again. Like, you're right. Some of these generation is far gone. They're gone. But they're going to die off anyway. But you letting them set the example for what the kids that you should be setting the example for. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to do my, I don't know what you're doing. I'm trying to do my thing. You know what I mean?
I'm gonna tell you this, Prince, because this Nene, I mentor in the prison. You know what I'm saying? I mentor with the gangs. Have a very good relationship with them in New York as well as New Jersey, and I talk to them all the time. I sit down with them all the time. But I'm gonna tell you where the disconnect comes in. That you talking about King, you talk about Malcolm and all that. It's the same way it was in slavery time. Separate the older generation from the younger generation to burn the bridge, so that we can't be able to communicate with one another. It's not that you have those who have got to a point that saying we have arrived. It's something embedded in society that says that we should be separated and apart and have that fear between the older generation and the younger generation so that we don't talk, so that we don't communicate, so that we are having a barrier between them. Us and them. And that is where the disconnect comes in at. It's not that the older generation is not trying to help the younger generation. It has been such a disconnect put into the very fiber of the system that we can't even talk to each other. You know what I'm saying? Even now, when we're talking to you, it's like it's a disconnect. You know what I'm saying? It's a disconnect between us and you, our generation. We're 20 something years apart from each other, and it's a disconnect. And it's not that we don't want to help you, or it's not that you don't want to help. It's just that it is an unspoken disconnect that has been put into the fiber of the system that keeps the young from the old. Because as long as you keep the older generation from the younger generation, you will continue to have illiteracy and ignorance. And that
you're right.
Is
you're right. Let me tell you what I think the disconnect is. The disconnect, I think, the fact that you guys want to help us the way you want to help us instead of asking us how we need to be helped. You just told me that you're talking to the prisoners and the inmates about it. When I said, like, there is a lost generation. They're lost. Go talk to their five kids that they got that keep being sick. You keep saying, I want my daddy. I want my daddy. I'm not going to learn shit until I get my daddy. I'm going to sell drugs because I got my daddy. I got to take care of my mama. Go talk to their kids. They are the lost generation.
Baby, that's what I'm telling you. I've been there. Like I come from, like I'm telling you right now, Prince. I've been out there. I was on the street when you wasn't even thought of being born. You know what I'm saying? Running and banging hard. You know what I'm saying? Not the stuff that y'all be doing in this damn time. I'm talking about real talk. We not talking about, you know, a little bit of dabbling here and there. I sling a couple of, you know, a couple of rocks, blah, blah, blah. But I definitely understand. I walk into the prison system, and I'm talking now to the sons of the cats that I used to run with. They looking at me like, lady, I don't want to listen to you. You got on a suit and you got on a tie. I ain't trying to hear you. I'm like, where you from? He tell me, I said, your father so-and-so. He's like, oh, shoot, you know my dad? Yo, yes, I do. And then he get humble and he get that respect. I definitely know what you're looking for, and I know what you need, but it's still a disconnect.
You know what the disconnect is? I'm going to tell you what the disconnect is. I'm only dealing with actual facts, so let me just take you back to what you said. I'm going to deal with what you said here tonight. When I was saying what I was saying, right, the moment you got in, the first thing that you said in a rebuttal to what I said was, you sound old. You didn't say, yo, what you said sounds intelligent, because it was very intelligent. Everything I had said, it was very intelligent and very precise and on point and right to the facts of the matter. But your mind state when you heard it was, this guy sounds old. So you came right on and you said that. You said, yo, you sound old. That's the disconnect. When we come around and we start speaking intelligently, intelligently don't sound like that bebop shit or that cool shit or what's trendy. So when we start speaking like that, it goes from, yeah, let me take in this message because this dude's saying something that has some substance to it, to, this nigga sound old.
But you know what,
like,
Aaron?
That's the disconnect. Hold on, Leisha, because I'm giving him actual fact right now because this just happened. I don't want him to leave off the phone and go because I understand what he's going to. Like he said, he lives in Chicago. It's a lot of violence going on there, has been for the last couple of years. But I don't want him to get off the phone thinking that this is our mind state towards the youth. This is the youth's mind state towards us. The first thing you said was, I sound old, not that I sound intelligent. It's not us, it's you, brother. We are reaching back. I speak in youth detention centers. I speak in different places where people, even before they get caught up, I speak in schools for where kids that got kicked out of the public school system and their next step is all the way out. I speak at the 600 schools and all that. And when I go there, I'll be speaking from experience. Like, I'm not the dude that just coming in there with the textbook trying to sound all smart and intelligent. I be speaking right with experience, speaking their language. But see, the thing is, I can shift right off of their language and go speak to the guidance counselor in the office that got me there as well after I did a well-to-do job. That's what the kids got to have. They got to be able to have that balance. You can't just always be having your pants sagging. You got to know the value of a good pair of shoes and a shoe shine. You know what I mean? So
but, you know,
it's not us.
Sometimes it's not that. Sometimes the disconnect is the disconnect, like in any conversation as far as communication. It's not what you say or how you say it like everybody says. It's how the other person interprets it, too. It's based on what they're saying. Just like Jay was saying, she can relate more to what Karam is saying because she can apply it. You might even know what you're saying, you feel everybody should be able to understand. It's just it's a
no,
different,
I don't.
It's a different. It's just a different mindset. But you guys said the exact same thing. Y'all just said it differently.
No,
if you were
I don't
younger,
think
you would, you would understand what he was saying, and
no,
and
I definitely
don't
think we were saying the same thing. And as far as what Jade said, and she made it very clear. See, let me tell you, you got to listen very closely to how things are presented. She made it clear before she even said how she felt. She said, since me and Karan are closer in age, I kind of see where he's coming from more. I can relate to him more. Age being the key factor.
Mm-hmm.
Me and
Karan
aren't
close in age, and I understand
what you're saying. And you sound like you agree with Karan. What are you talking about?
Lisa almost 40. She's just going to hang out with the young kids. But anyway, I love you, Karan. Hold up, Lisa. I got to pass out my love. I love Karan. His passion is phenomenal, and I can't wait until I get an opportunity to meet you and actually sit down, you know, with you so that, you know, we can have some real conversations outside of the radio, outside of books, and, you know, be able to talk. We're going to be coming out to the shop, and, you know, hopefully we'll all get a chance to meet up, you know, so we can sit down at the table and have these real conversations, because these are real conversations. We're talking about female thugs. We're talking about this next generation, you know, the disrespect, the disconnect between the generations, and we got to find a way to bridge the gap. You know what I'm saying? It definitely has to be a way to bridge the gap, because it is a disconnect. And like you said, I love what you said about, you know, the older, you know, people in society trying to help you, but they not giving you, you know, what you need and what you asking for. And that is very important, you know, to be able to do that. But sometimes I think that some of the youth don't know how to ask for it. They know what they want, and we're not giving you what you want, but some of the youth don't know how to ask us for what it is that they need and that they want so that we can help you. Go ahead, Karan. How you feel about that?
Nah, I mean, it's kind of like the same thing I told you before, man. And actually, you know, and going back to it, it'd be perfect for people to read and kind of know what I'm talking about. Compare the characters, Vino and Raiden, and also Misha, because Misha is a product of her environment. Raiden's also a product of his environment. Like I say, when you guys go back out and you're in a situation, back to what you were saying, I'm sorry, with the kids, if you talk to the kids, and you ask them what's going on with them, a lot of times they'll tell you you got daddy issues, man. Daddy issues is not a good issue to have, man. I mean, not in females or in males, because I feel like daddy issues creates the female thug. A lot of the energy that she's lacking as far as that masculine energy she's not getting, so she has to, you know, she turns into that. And that's what we see a lot of times. We have a lot more, you know, what you say, dykes and stuff like that in the community, you know, because the black community is already a maternal community, so it has to be some type of masculine. And if the niggas ain't there, then a few of these females gonna turn to some niggas, and that's the way it's gonna be. But back to
that's powerful. But back to
the kids, it's like, yo, you gotta. It's not about the prisoners, the inmates. That shit is over with. I mean, when you get a felony, you're black, man. You know your life's damn near. You know, it's kind of wrapped damn near, unless you got some type of entrepreneurial thing to you. But talk to the kids. They say, I want my daddy. I'm not gonna learn why you can't learn. I want my daddy. Now they wanna give him Ritalin and all this other bullshit is going to fuck them up. So when they're my age, they really think. And you say why they can't think of my age? Because they've been on Ritalin and shit, the kitty crack.
Not
you
man.
I mean? So
man.
It's like a lot of,
put them on that real quick.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of stuff you got to kind of read into. It's not as simple as you think. And actually, you got to, I think, instead of talking so much, you got to really just listen to the youth. They tell you what they need.
I just want to say something right here. This is fact, too. This is fact. In the last 20 years,
wrap it up, Aaron, because we on a down spiral on time, and we want to let them have an opportunity to do their shout out of what they got before they leave the clubhouse.
I just want to say, in the last 20 years, yo, most male and female people that have went into the criminal justice system have entered the criminal justice system. I have come from two-parent family homes, yo. Fact. Two-parent family, whether it was their biological father or their biological, they came from two-parent family homes. Fact.
Okay.
And that's all. I'm going to just leave it at that.
Leave it at that. Ms. G, please give us a shout-out. Then we're going to go to Jimmy. Then we're going to go to Karan before we leave the clubhouse. Let us know what you got coming down the pipe from your personal writings as well as your camp.
Okay, well, I'm currently working on a screenplay for Scheming. looking to get that to be made into an indie film. So, I mean, that's what's really big on my plate. I like to give a shout-out to my readers and my supporters, all of Jada Publications authors, and, you know, just everybody. Thank you guys for having us on the show.
Thank you for coming. Thank you
yes,
so much.
Thank you so much.
Jerry. Is Jerry still there? Has Jerry left the clubhouse? He might have stepped out. I know he had to leave early from the clubhouse. But go ahead, Karan. Give us a shout-out of what you have coming down the pipe and what they can the readers can expect from your pen.
Hey, I just want to give a big shout-out to Jay, period, man, because, you know, I'm not actually a novelist by, you know, by nature. She's actually really doing a lot with me to help me become a novelist, you know what I mean? I really write articles and stuff like that, but she's doing a lot to help me. And anybody who's looking for a publication who really has, like, a lot of loyal members, our whole team is just legit, man. They help with the pubbing. I mean, I've hit a couple of them up for advice, man. They real open arms, man. You'll never find many teams like Jada Publications, man. So I want to give a big shout-out to that. And as far as just going forward, man, I got a lot of stuff. I don't really have any titles for them, but I'm going to just be getting better every day and just trying to, you know, do my best to add to Jada Publications and do the best I can, you know.
Yes.
That's
and we thank you for coming on here. We thank you for engaging, you know, in this talk, you know, on Writing Royalty Radio. We very open. It's all love. We like to have everybody voicing their opinions and how they feel, and we thank you for coming and getting involved. Please excuse me earlier for not knowing, you know, who you were coming into the clubhouse. I usually try to know who all the authors are, but I missed that one when they brought you in. I thought they brought you in as a caller. But we definitely would love to have you back on, you know, on a different platform and a different subject if you would like to come back and chop it up in the clubhouse. But, you know, we thank y'all for, you know, for sharing, you know, your literary journey with us. And it's been a phenomenal, phenomenal evening. Thank you to the callers and thank you to the chat room. The chat room was jumping. The call lines was jumping. People had their hands raised. And, you know, we're just happy that they came out to join us, you know, in the clubhouse here on Ryan Royalty
Radio. We got another caller.
Do we?
Real quick.
Go ahead and take them right quick, Aaron.
937-313. Good evening. You're live with the Ryan Royalty crew.
Hi, family.
Hi.
Hello.
It's Stacey Johnson Leno.
What's
going on,
Stacey?
I sound different. Okay, I know I don't have much time. So this is what I want to say real quick. Hi to everybody. I love y'all. I didn't get to catch the whole show, but that I called, I loved it. I enjoyed it. My advice is what I would say to people, don't talk at each other. Talk to each other, which means we all have opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to agree with your opinion. You don't have to agree with my opinion. But as people living in the world, just understand. You seeing it different, I'm seeing it different. Your perception of something and my perception of something are different because we're two different people. So whatever generation you are living in, the best thing you can do is talk to people.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think that's what a lot of us have done, you know, now, growing up, some people have people that talk at them instead of talking to them. So the best thing I can say, like I said, is talk to them, dialogue, back and forth, communicate, understand. I love y'all.
Thank you,
Stacey. Thanks for dropping in.
Thanks, Stacey.
Thank you.
That's right. On that note, we're going to say good night, and Aaron, drop that beat.
Good night.
Good night.
I'm going to put it down. You're going to fall in love. I'm going to put it down. You're going to
fall in love.
This program contains...
Something about her. Ooh, it's something about kind of.
woman that wants you but don't need you. And I can't figure it out. There's something about her. Cause she walks like a boss, talks like a boss, manicure and nails are such a pedicure wrong. She's fly effortlessly, and she moves like a boss, do what a boss do. She got me thinking about getting involved. That's the kind of girl I need.